Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jennifer Hanna, Deputy Director for National Healthcare Preparedness Programs Branch here at ASPR. And it's my pleasure to be with you today as we discuss the HPP Annual Cooperative Agreement FY 2022 BP4 non-competing continuation guidance. Next slide, please. During today's call, I will provide an overview of the continuation guidance application instructions. As Megan stated earlier, please feel free to ask questions in the chat box throughout the presentation on the specific sections that we are covering, and then we'll save time at the end of the call to respond to those questions that have been entered into the chat. And then, of course, you can always come off of mute and you can ask those questions live. Unfortunately, ASPR Grants Management was unable to join today's call. If you have any grants management questions, please contact your assigned grants management specialist. Next slide, please. So we'll now begin with a brief overview of the continuation guidance application packet and submission information. Next slide, please. Only recipients that were previously awarded under the FY 2019-2023 HPP Cooperative Agreement are, of course, are eligible to apply for continuation of funds. The continuation of funds for fiscal year 2022 budget period 4, which begins on July 1st, 2022 and ends June 30, 2023. Applications must be submitted electronically via grantsolutions.gov by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on June 21st, 2022. Late or incomplete applications could result in an enforcement action such as delay in the award or a reduction in funds. ASPR will accept requests for a deadline extension on rare occasions and after adequate justification has been provided. Continued funding is subject to the availability of funds and satisfactory progress, which is measured in part by the timely submission of required reports. Next slide, please. In order to be eligible to receive the FY 2022 budget period for HPP continuation award, all recipients must submit the documents on this screen through grantsolutions.gov. And I won't walk through the entire list here because it is also included within the application instructions. Next slide, please. Additionally, it is optional to attach the following to your application unless they are applicable. One thing of note is especially the recipient level direct cost waiver request. If you will be requesting the recipient level direct cost above 18%, you will need to submit a justification and follow the instructions that are included within the continuation guidance, as well as those other documents that are listed here. If they are applicable, please ensure that you do include those within your application. Next slide, please. So next, I'll review some of the requirements for the FY 2022 budget period for continuation application. Next slide, please. This slide, of course, depicts the benchmarks as well as the pandemic influenza planning requirements that everyone should be familiar, but certainly want to highlight a few things here. As stated, you know, in PAPIA, amended section 319C1G of the Public Health Service Act describes the withholding of a statutorily mandated percentage of the awards in subsequent years for which HPP recipients that fail to substantially meet benchmarks or to submit a pandemic influenza plan. For the hospital preparedness program, you're not required to submit a pandemic influenza plan. Rather, we use the data that are submitted as part of the performance measures in order to meet that specific requirement. But with the amended language, such a failure will result in the withholding of a specified percentage of the award for either of the two immediately preceding fiscal years effective FY 2019. The possible percent of withholding is detailed in the chart. ASPR is required to treat a failure to substantially meet the benchmark and a failure to submit, as I said, the performance measures as part of the pandemic influenza plan to the secretary as separate withholding actions. But keeping in mind that no withholding will be put into place or will be implemented, of course, until of substantial technical assistance is provided. But of note, one thing that did change from the continuation application, you will note here that for the benchmark number two, which is the submission of quarterly federal financial reports, that benchmark is now being discontinued. If you have recently accessed the payment management system, on the landing page, there are instructions or there's an announcement there that states that for HHS recipients, they are no longer required to submit the quarterly cash transaction report, but rather that information is going to be pulled or rather updated in real time when you are drawing down funds from payment management system. I will confess I'm certainly not an expert on the payment management system. So if you have questions related to that update, please reach out to your assigned grants management specialist regarding that. The effective date of that new information or that change in reporting or submitting the quarterly cash transaction report was April 1st of this year. But please reach out to your grants management specialist for any additional information. Also, pay close attention when you are reading the continuation guidance for any additional clarifications regarding any of the benchmarks that are listed here on this slide. Next slide, please. This is related to the requirements that are included in Appendix A. So the first pages 15 through 27 in the continuation guidance provide an overview of Appendix A, which you should be very familiar with because it was included in the original 2019-2023 HPP FOA. But these are the application requirements and capabilities, objectives, and activities. Please consider that the requirements outlined in the FOA and those added or clarified in previous continuation guidance instructions remain in effect and continue into the FY 2022 budget period 4. Appendix A includes a variety of requirements which are summarized on this slide. The requirements include maintaining a response plan and developing the radiation surge annex in FY 2022. And as stated previously, of course, this is also requirements that have been carried over from the FOA as well as previous continuation guidance. Next slide, please. I want to take a moment to flag the following requirements that are included in the budget period for continuation application instructions and are due in the upcoming budget period. And we have outlined these requirements on this slide and the next, and they include the development of a healthcare system recovery plan, incorporating the radiation surge annex into the healthcare coalition response plan. Please note that the requirement for the crisis standards of care CONOPS plan incorporation into a healthcare coalition response plan was extended to FY 2022 budget period 4. And I believe that's on the next slide as well, some of that the content that I just covered. So I think we can go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Appendix C. Appendix C is for U.S. territories, freely associated states, and isolated frontier hospitals. And you should refer to pages 28 through 31 of the continuation guidance for any Appendix C modifications. And although these recipients are encouraged to address all HPP activities outlined in the HPP FOA, including the use of HCCs for coordinating healthcare situational awareness, planning, training, and exercise, they may require flexibility to focus their planning, training, and exercising activities at the healthcare facility level. So please make sure if you fall within this category that not only do you refer back to some of the requirements that are included within the Appendix A, as well as some of the administrative requirements that have been outlined within the FOA, but pay close attention to what is included in Appendix C for any modifications or for requirements that are also for budget period 4. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. So next, I'll share brief information about the HPP budget and work plan considerations. Next slide, please. As populated, the FY 2022 budget period for work plans and budgets in performs with recipient FY 2021 budget period 3 information at the recipient's request. Please ensure that all required recipient level and healthcare coalition work plan activities are addressed in your FY 2022 budget period 4 application based on the FY 2022 recipient and healthcare coalition work plan development checklist in the continuation application instructions found on pages 32 through 34. Please submit the continuation application in perform and grant solutions by June 21st, 2022 to ensure that your award is issued on time. Of note, again, the award amounts in the in performs are your are reflected are planning numbers and are your FY 2021 budget period 3 award amounts. And we do anticipate in a few weeks that we will be updating those numbers with the final numbers, which would allow you to be able to submit your application formally into the in performs. But still, just keep in mind that June 21st, 2022 is the deadline for submitting your application. Next slide, please. So now I'm going to turn it over actually to Dave Cernak, who is the Region 10 HPP Field Project Officer, as well as acting one of our acting regional supervisors to cover this slide. Dave.
Hey, thank you, Jennifer. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. So as Jennifer mentioned, as a member of the NHPP regional staff, I was asked to provide a brief overview of the recipient and HPP work plan development checklist. As you can see, this section is a new addition to the HPP continuation guidance and is based on feedback that we received from both recipients, healthcare coalitions, as well as our NHPP regional FPOs. As you're all aware, the HPP FOA covers a five-year project period and is comprised of various requirements that range from overarching federal requirements, programmatic requirements, benchmarks, as well as annual recipient and sub-recipient requirements, some which are required every year and others which are due during specific budget periods. Additionally, other factors such as most recently COVID drive modifications to these requirements and make it all the more difficult for us to track them from year to year. So to assist the recipients, sub-recipients, as well as our staff with developing and reviewing BP4 applications, we developed a consolidated list of the required activities utilizing both the HPP FOA and applying the various updates and flexibilities over the past several budget periods that need to be included in both the recipient and sub-recipient work plans. So as you can see, this list is broken down by recipient and healthcare coalition and intentionally includes program requirements, benchmarks, and capability-specific activities purposefully to assist both applicants and reviewers with verifying all BP4 requirements are addressed in their respective work plans. We have identified a total of 16 requirements for the recipients and 20 for the coalitions. While we may not have specifically included some requirements in your annual work plans, in the past, such as benchmarks, we do recommend including these items in your work plans this year to ensure that they're completed within their specified deadlines. Additionally, for each required activity, we identified the associated benchmark or capability that it falls under, as well as some additional notes as to whether or not it's an annual requirement or specific to BP4. You may have also noted that some of the required activities note that they're not due until BP5, but we decided to include them here for those recipients and coalitions that choose to work on them now in BP4. This is an example of that is the surge tabletop, specialty surge annex tabletops, as well as like the crisis standards of care exercise. Additionally, there are several activities for both recipients and coalitions that may not apply to everyone. So if you're unsure about any of these requirements, please work with your assigned FPO to determine if it applies to you or any of your coalitions. So if there are any questions on this checklist, I'm happy to address them during the Q&A session. But with that said, I'd like to thank you all, and I'll turn it back over to you, Jennifer.
I think we'll now, oh, sorry, go ahead, Jennifer.
I was just thanking Dave. Go ahead, Megan.
Thank you. We'll now move into our Q&A portion. And so we'll open the line for additional questions. As a reminder, you may submit your questions in the chat box or raise your hand and ask one live. We already have a few questions in the chat box. Jennifer, would you like me to read them out for you?
Yes, that would be great, Megan. Go ahead, great. Please.
So I'll start with one for the crisis standards of care CONOPS HCC level exercise requirement. Could our efforts and response to COVID-19 satisfy this exercise requirement if documented appropriately, as this has been a constant through the pandemic?
Thanks for that question. At this time, we have not determined all of the flexibilities that will be implemented for budget period 4. But we'll certainly note this and then communicate it probably shortly after the start of the award of July 1st. But thank you for bringing this to our attention. We don't have an answer for this at this juncture, but certainly we'll take a closer look at this and see if this is a potential flexibility that we may be able to implement for budget period 4.
Great, thank you, Jennifer. Another question in the chat, if we have not received final budget numbers by June 21st, do we still submit in performs?
So the performs module will remain open until you receive the final numbers. You'll note if you have accessed the application module, the submit button, I believe, is grayed out currently until those final numbers become available, and then you will be able to submit. If you have not received the final numbers by June 21st, which I am almost positive that you will have them before then, then you will still go ahead and just submit. I'll get it out in a second. You'll be able to download the detailed work plan and those other components that should be included within Grant Solution as part of the narrative, as well as the budget information, and enter that into Grant Solution so that we can go ahead and make the award. Once we receive the final numbers, then you will be able to, of course, one, submit, hit the submit button in performs, and also you will be given ample time to be able to make those adjustments to your work plan, as well as your budget to reflect those final numbers.
Great. Thank you so much. Next question is, where do we locate the required MCM coordinator training?
So the required MCM coordinator training that I believe is included within the section that's related to the mandatory meetings section. That information would be shared once those trainings become available. We have not identified or pre-identified any specific trainings, but rather just wanted to make sure that was included in the within the instruction.
Great, thank you. Next question, I believe you answered regarding the budget not being final and developing the application. But if anyone has any questions, like I said, this will be recorded, so feel free to refer back to that. The next question is regarding the recovery plan. To be clear, the recovery plan is due by the end of BP4 and it will be confirmed in the APR in September 2023. Is that correct?
That is correct. So just make sure that you know that any of the plans that are required for BP4 are technically completed by June 30 of 2023, but then they will be submitted with the APR in September of 2023. Once we start collecting that information as a part of the annual progress report.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I see another question came in. The performance capability work plan only focuses on the capabilities and doesn't include the benchmarks. How are we supposed to include the benchmark elements in our statement of intended work? Or are they simply assumed and are not a necessary element of what's expected?
Well, for some of the benchmarks, we capture that information as part of your performance measures that you submit at the end of year. For other benchmarks, let's say, for example, I know with submitting the Healthcare Coalition annual work plan, as well as the one of the budget requirements, so there's a part that is part or sharing your spend plan. As we know, we capture that offline with our with your field project officer. Also with some of those that may be specific to the healthcare coalitions, we capture that within the coalition assessment tool as well. So you're not required to, there is no benchmark tab, and you're not required to report directly on those benchmarks within the application module.
Great, thank you. And as a reminder, feel free to come off mute or raise your hand as well, or leave questions in the chat. Looks like another one just came in. Have the requirements for a clinical advisor changed from 0.2 FTE, or excuse me, from 2 FTE to 1 FTE? How do you expect us to afford a clinical advisor, especially an FTE?
So the requirement for the clinical advisor, as well as the Healthcare Coalition response coordinator position, as we said, there's 1 FTE across those two positions, and it really is at your discretion how you decide how you want to split that. But the specific information is still included within the instructions. But the requirement hasn't changed.
Thank you. We'll check and make sure. Does it look like there's anything new? Give it a second. Another question just came in. It's a follow-up question, and it says, so how do we match our budget to the work plan when it doesn't reference the benchmarks?
Sorry, folks, I was on mute. Apologies for that. Just go ahead and match your budget plan to your work plan as you have in the past, you know, beginning from budget period one. So you don't have to be, as I said, you don't necessarily have to focus on the benchmarks. We do capture that information and track that elsewhere.
And then looks like another question following up. So do we not need to allocate all of our budget to parts of the work plan?
You do need to allocate all of your budget to your work plan.
And then another question came in. When is the crisis standards of care CONOPS due?
Crisis Standards of Care CONOPS is due at the end of budget period three, which is June 30, 2022.
Another question came in. You mentioned previously in this call that the RLDC rate was 18%. Has that been reduced to 15% in BP4?
There is no specific marker for saying that for within a particular budget period that you need to be at the 15%. What we noted in the application instructions, I think from the very, very beginning, is that the starting rate was 18% with the plan to be able to reduce that to 15% by the end of the five-year project period. So there's no specific information that's included with NBP4 that indicates that we have reduced the RLDC rate to 15%.
Great, thank you. And I'll just follow up. Looks like there was a question in the chat about when the recording will become available. As we answered, once the recording and the transcript are published on the ASPR website, we'll send out a follow-up email from today's webinar with that materials, but we anticipate it to be fairly soon. Another question, can you announce the date again for the crisis standards of care?
Yes, you should be completed with the crisis standards of care CONOPS by the end of budget period 3, which is June 30, 2022.
Hi, I don't have access to the Zoom function. I called in. May I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the reason that question was asked in chat at the beginning of the conversation, my understanding was that the CONOPS was extended into BP4. Which would mean the due date is 2023, not 2022, or had we misunderstood at the beginning?
So the CONOPS was extended to BP3. So it is due June 30 of 2022. What was extended to BP4 was the actual integration of the CONOPS into the healthcare coalition response plan. Also, for the tabletop exercise as part of the healthcare coalition, as part of a tabletop, that requirement or that due date for that exercise has now been aligned with the other response annexes of due date, which is that it just needs to be completed by the end of the project period. But the CONOPS is due in BP3. And I see that John Hallman has actually listed out all of the different requirements and the due dates in the chat. Although I know that the caller stated that they were unable to access the Zoom function. But I can restate that for anyone that just may be on call by audio only. If BP3 is a due date for the crisis standards of care CONOPS, BP4 is the due date for the crisis standards of care integration, and the crisis standards of care tabletop is due by BP5.
Thank you for the clarification.
Absolutely.
Looks like another question about crisis standards of care CONOPS. Where is it submitted? They're asking Performs or the HCAT or where would they submit it?
Sure, since the crisis standards of care CONOPS is a recipient requirement, it will be submitted in Performs. It will be included, I believe, and we certainly will clarify by this. I don't have the requirements right up in front of me at this point, but I believe that it's due as part of the annual progress report.
Another question, is the crisis standards of care CONOPS a requirement for HCCs or both HCCs and recipients?
So the crisis standards of care CONOPS is a recipient requirement. However, the components of the crisis standards of care CONOPS is supposed to be integrated into the healthcare coalition's response plan.
And to follow up on that, are there any waivers or exceptions that one can apply for in regards to crisis standards of care ConOps?
Currently, there are we don't have a waiver or an exception in place. If you could email us at hpp@hhs.gov and or contact your assigned project officer and provide us with additional information regarding any specific challenges that you're in that you're experiencing in meeting that requirement, that will certainly be helpful.
And as mentioned earlier, if you're on the line calling in from a phone and you can't type a chat, feel free to come off mute and ask your question. I want to make sure everyone gets an opportunity to ask a question, so feel free to submit it. We'll give another minute here, and then if no other questions, pass it back to you, Jennifer.
Megan, I'm not seeing any additional questions at this point, and we certainly want to. We know that everyone is very busy, and has a very busy schedule, so we don't want to hold folks any longer than absolutely necessary. But just want to take a moment, of course, if we could go to the next slide, Megan. Thank you. But just want to take a moment, of course, to thank everyone for joining us today. And of course, if you have any additional, we have one final last question that came in regarding the crisis standards of care ConOps submitted. I believe the requirement is to submit it with the annual progress report. But we'll certainly check that to make sure that I'm not misstating it. And one of our field project officers just stated it is due with the APR or the annual progress report. Thank you for that, for confirming that, Angela. So as stated, you know, again, thanks everyone for joining us today. If you have any additional questions regarding developing your application, please don't hesitate to reach out to your assigned field project officer for any programmatic questions or your assigned grants management specialist for any grants management questions. And I did see one final question did come in. Megan, hang on one sec here.
Yes, it looks like someone's asking, isn't the APR 90 days after the end of the BP, which would not be June?
So when we provide a June date, meaning by the end of the budget period, that means that's when you should be completed with that particular deliverable, that plan, that specific requirement. But then you are given 90 days, typically following the end of the budget period, to submit the requirement or the required document or the required plan. So you should not be completing that crisis management care CONOP on September 30, but rather the intent is for you to complete that particular requirement at the end of the budget period, which is June 30, 2022. And then the reporting, then there is a reporting period, which is usually 90 days after the end of the budget period. So that is the official submission date. And for that, specifically for that crisis standards of care CONOP would be around September 30 or when the annual progress report module opens and performs. But you should be completed with all of those deliverables that have been identified as the end of the budget period to be specifically for budget period 3 to have those completed by June 30 in order to submit those with the annual progress report. And I think then there was one final question here was regarding the RESPTC award. As many of you may have seen as part of the FY 2022 Consolidated Appropriations Act, is that Congress did include language for us to expand the regional Ebola and other special pathogen treatment network by at least 3 new treatment centers. We are working fast and furious and diligently to develop that particular NOFO. We don't have at this point an anticipated date or a specific date regarding the release of that, but more information will be forthcoming as soon as the notice of funding opportunity is developed, and then of course goes through internal reviews and clearances and by the ASPR and others. So stay tuned. Of course, we will include once that is released, that it will include that within our bulletin, and it also will be available in the in grants.gov. But thank you for asking that question. And thanks again, Angela, for providing that additional information. So with that, I'm just going to say thank you again, everyone, for joining us. We're going to adjourn our continuation guidance discussion. We will certainly be releasing, and we'll make sure that we socialize and get out the recording as soon as it is available. Again, if you have any questions, specific programmatic questions, please reach out to your assigned project officer. Any grants management questions, please direct those to your assigned ASPR grants management specialist. So thanks, everyone, again, and have a wonderful day. Thank you.